listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Have you ever popped champagne on a plane while getting some brain, whipped it out? She said, I never seen snakes on a plane. Whether you broke or rich, you gotta get this. Having money's not everything, not having it is. I was splurging on trips, but when I got my bank card back activated, I'm back to Vegas. Cause the good life, I always had a passion for flashing. Before I had it, I closed my eyes and imagined the good life. Better than the life I lived when I thought that I was gonna go crazy. And now my grandma might, the only girl calling me baby. And if you're feeling me now, then put your hands up in the sky. Let me hear you say, I'm good. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Wednesday, last day of the week.
Yes, sir.
No Walking Dead to review, just straight up podcasting.
Yes, sir.
You know how we do, guys. The Black Guy Who Tips, iTunes, Stitcher, search for us. Leave us 5-star reviews. We read them on the show. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
The unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 357. That Bobby Shmurda has been locked up, incarcerated, with no trial.
Just close to that year.
Can't even bail himself out. Company refused to do it for him. Can't even get the bail lowered.
Right.
What are we going to do, America? Is this the world you going to live in? This podcast is also sponsored. It's triple sponsored today. This podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. They got a new Christmas-themed comedy audio play. It's called Christmouse. And features friends of the show, Nick Jew, Thatcher, Dane Goodwin, Lisa St. Odom, and Chris Gaines. If you purchase or have purchased the new Black Guy Who Tips album and leave a review on iTunes and let us know about it on their Twitter, which is @ShadowDogProd, we'll send you a free copy of Christmouse. It's hilarious, so don't miss out.
Woo-hoo!
Get yourself a free audio play,
ain't
guys.
That's the truth.
Well, especially those of y'all who already bought the album and have enjoyed it, left 5-star reviews and things of this nature.
Yes, we had so much fun making that.
This episode is also brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today. Use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. And then we also have a little bit of a sexier sponsor. Let me see about this.
Hey, the lover in you. Yes. Is this on your list of make black women say all shit?
Not yet. I'll put it on there now.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? Well, I bet you love to get more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. Give you a sexy little surprise for her, a specially selected toy for him, and third, a little something that you both can enjoy, plus 6 full-length adult movies on DVD, and number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. Could be a adventurous new toy, sex piece of lingerie, anything you desire. Just enter offer code TBGWT at checkout and you'll get 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping. When you enter offer code TBGWT, that's TBGWT at AdamandEve.com. Right,
that's old school right there, boy.
Well, you know, I gotta kick it old school every once in a while for the people out there in podcast land.
Shout out to the old folks.
Well, let's see what's in the news today. There's all kinds of news happening. Actually, it's been kind of slow on the news front the last few weeks. But it doesn't stop us from having shit to talk about, right?
Ain't that the truth?
Apparently, you can, let me see. What's the best way to start this one? Apparently, the best part of being a cop in Texas is killing people and not going to jail. This according to a police officer who was returning to work, even though he posted that on Facebook. Officer Daryl A. Carl, that's two names from The Walking Dead, was suspended for 30 days starting November 15th. I love my job. They said you want to kill people and not go to jail. I said, fuck yeah. Who don't? They said you afraid of the jungle. I said, I ain't scared of shit. I've been wanting to go jungle since watching the Predator movie. I love my job. LOL. He wrote, according to department records, he wrote that on August 11th. It took him a while to find it. He didn't get caught until August the 12th. Because it's obvious. It's stupid, okay? The SAPD Chief William McMahon has told MySA.com that Carl claimed that he was repeating a sentiment he heard on YouTube channel Action Figure Therapy, which provides videos about military and tactical humor, jokes, and comedy. Yeah, well, that's a smart thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, let's say that is where you read it. What about that makes you think, and now I need to post something similar on my Facebook page?
And just the race doesn't matter. Anybody that reads that go, well, you might shoot me. Like,
yeah, I didn't even, this isn't even in guess the race or fucking with black people.
Just citizens, period, go, okay, you just gonna carry a gun and shoot people.
Regardless, to put that up, to post that doesn't make a lot of sense, said Chief McManus.
No.
It certainly doesn't make the job any easier. If people read that, it doesn't garner any respect for the department to read that coming from one of our officers. Yeah, I wonder if he solidly want to be like, I just want to edit it and add black people. Then nobody will be mad.
Yeah, brown people.
He also had made other Facebook posts that reflected badly on his department. Following the suspension, Carl added a message to the top of his Facebook page. The views and opinions expressed on my social media site are my personal views and not those of the San Antonio Police Department. The Facebook page is now marked private, and Carl is expected to return to work next week.
I know it is private. It probably should have been private in the first place.
Right. But I'll tell you this much. I think he had to go because he was telling the truth.
Yes. Yes.
That's why he really had to go. It was like, actually, you can do that shit. And we don't really want to advertise that.
Right. We don't want the government coming and investigating us because you want to be dumb.
Remember that total badass from the pharmacy scandal, the guy who bought the drug and
like jacked the prices 25
the price up.
Yes.
Well, he's back in the news. He is. This relates to another story we covered. Wu-Tang said they were going to sell one album that was unique, and it only would give it to one person. There'll only be one copy of it, and this one person would be able to listen to it. And if they sold it or made copies of it or anything, then they would violate the agreement and all this shit. The person who got that album is that dude, that pharmacy dude.
Wow.
Farmer bro, big pharma. Yeah, he spent $2 million on it.
Wow.
Yeah. So
he got a collector's item.
Yeah, I don't know if this is part of his strategy to invest in it. I don't know if it's supposed to increase in price or what. But, yeah, he's got a 31-track album. Comes in a hand-carved box accompanied by a leather-bound book with 174 pages of parchment paper filled with lyrics and background on the songs. The music itself was expected to be spectacular. All the surviving members of the Wu-Tang Clan contributed to the Once Upon a Time in Shaolin album along with some special guests. Aside from the RZA and his co-producer Tariq, I don't know that dude, Kilvarines, nobody had heard the entire record. It was stored in a vault in the Royal Mansour Marrakech Hotel in Morocco, and any duplicates had been destroyed.
Oh, so he made duplicates?
They hadn't even sold this before they even sold it. There's only one copy.
Okay.
They had received a $5 million offer, they claim, Fans speculated that the buyer might turn out to be Quentin Tarantino, Hollywood associate of RZA, or venture capitalist Ben Horowitz, who has written about his love of rap. Some Wu-Tang fans objected to the group's plan. Two of the group's disgruntled admirers started a Kickstarter campaign to buy Once Upon a Time in Shaolin to keep it out of plutocratic hands. Someone who has disposable millions is just another shiny toy for them, says Russell Meyer, one of the organizers. Is most likely not going to be someone who appreciates the music. So then on November 24th, Paddle 8 announced that the Wu-Tang Clan had sold the album for a record figure in the millions. The price had been agreed to in May, but according to the press release, the party spent months finalizing contracts and devising legal protections for a distinctive work whose value depends on its singularity. But the group wouldn't reveal the buyer's name. RZA said he wanted his privacy. This was very much a mutual decision, RZA insisted in the email. There was only one wrinkle. The buyer didn't care about his privacy. He wanted to go public. So that's when he told everybody that it's me.
Right. And that, and for them, they was like, we don't mind doing this, but we already getting problems and backlash and fans getting upset about this in the first place. So, yeah, sign this paper and just be happy with it.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope, fuck that. I bought it and I want everybody to know I bought it. I mean, and I can understand his point, but they was like, we don't want to deal with the backlash of that.
Well, I guess it's true, Karen. Cash does rule everything around them.
Mm-hmm.
Cream, get the money.
Yeah, and
dollar bill, y'all.
And it's one of those things where, honestly, for anybody, be it a fan, it's like a collector's item. You get it, you go, yeah, I bought it. Some people will, some people will like, I got it, but I'm not, I'll never say it. I guess it depends on the personality of the person.
I mean,
if they paid for it, I guess they have the right to come out and say whether or not they bought it.
Yeah. Maybe they'll give the money to charity or something. Because I don't know how else they're going to. A lot of fans aren't going to agree with this METHOD of selling the album. Imagine winning an award from the president and then your pants fall down.
Oh. Somebody forgot their belt.
It's the biggest day of your life. You're on stage with the president. She gives you an award. Where did your pants go? On the one hand, super embarrassing. On the other hand, what a picture. Unfortunately for Yvonne Zavanir Kikac, who was receiving a human rights award from the Croatian president, Kolinda Grabar-Kitarovic, he had no hands at all. There's an important lesson here. Always wear clean underwear. Yeah, this dude got an award from the president.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's receiving the award, his pants fall down. Right when everyone's taking a picture of everything.
And everybody looking down.
Yeah. You can just see the president, like.
And the people in the background are laughing at him.
The president even looks down at his pants falling, like, wow, look at this dude. Shout out to her for keeping her composure. I would have lost it.
And laughed.
That's why she's president and I'm not, because my black ass would have been up there cracking up, like, oh, shit. This is embarrassing for you and only you.
And nobody else but you.
And man, hands down, pants down. That's what I always like to say. let's see what else is going on. There's a new reality show coming up soon. Oxygen,
mm-hmm.
Wednesday, February 3rd. It's called Preachers of Atlanta.
Didn't they have another preacher show today?
Preachers of Detroit. I don't know if it got canceled though. I don't know.
Yeah, it never came out. I don't think it
got. I watched a couple episodes. Yeah.
Okay. I talked to
Nick Jewell about it.
That show did, but no, it's another preacher show that came out that didn't go through, and I thought it was this one, but apparently it's not.
This is called Preachers of Atlanta. I don't know about this fictional show you just made up.
I'm not making up a fictional show. It was a show that came out and people got outraged, where people were like laying hands and shit like that, and a lot of people at the church got mad about it.
Why'd they get mad?
You know how church folks are. They're like, no, don't be going out and showing what we do in church. Yeah, it got canceled. I don't remember the name of it, but this must be like in conjunction to that one. Yeah, the Preachers of L.A. Yeah, this is conjunction.
Oh, is that what it was? Preachers of L.A. got canceled, or Preachers of L.A. No,
Preachers of L.A. is probably the one that you and Nick Jew talked about. And this is probably like a spinoff or conjunction with that one. But it is another preacher show. I forgot what channel it came on. I see if I can find it. But it's another preacher show that came out that I don't think ever aired.
Well, here's the preview for it.
God has said, baby, you're just right for today.
I'm gonna find a way to give God glory.
I'm breaking out of hell.
Watch me. The devil is a...
Damn, they got white people? I know they had a white woman preacher too. That's what I'm talking about.
Hallelujah!
I take it to the streets. I pass out cigarettes and condoms. I do all that.
Oh, you know she gonna be the wild card.
Of course.
Handing out cigarettes and condoms. That's like telling people to smoke and fuck. I don't know. I don't know if the rest of the church is gonna be okay with that. Her other preacher friends probably gonna have some drama behind that.
Of course.
But at the end of the day, when God tells me to do something, I do it.
I rap about God because that's the only way I can get youth to listen.
Oh, he rapping about God. That's going to be a problem. You know, God don't like all that hippity-hop care.
You think he cares?
I think he must not care.
I don't think he cares either.
He must care though. Mm-mm. Other people think he cares.
I don't think he cares. He's like, if the message is getting out there, I don't care.
Is this the same guy that told the Planned Parenthood dude to shoot up everybody? I mean, I just want to know.
No.
How can we tell? Maybe he's telling different people different things. Mm-mm. Good game of telephone going.
And I won't stop till the end.
I preach in tutus and high heels.
This is a church where you gotta participate.
Oh, now see, she don't even dress right. She dressing like Aisha Curry's the people that she hate.
Tutus and high heels. Go ahead.
She dressing like the non-classy ladies Aisha Curry hates and up in here preaching the Lord's word. Now, you know they ain't getting saved.
I preach better when I'm me.
And she white, y'all. And she got a mohawk.
The voice for the people you stepped on. Revolution is the only solution that's left.
A white dude named Judah that's about to preach this revolution. Good God.
I don't only save lives. I'm in the business of saving souls.
Hey, is he a preacher and a police officer?
Mm-hmm. Look at you, officer.
Maybe he a bail's bondsman or something. I hope he's not a cop. Man, you hate to be late with your tithes in his congregation. I noticed you was a little late with them tithes, and I also noticed that license tag was expired.
Right.
Last time I saw you, you was in handcuffs.
Life is more than just what you've experienced.
I couldn't imagine what it's like to have gone through what he went through in your past.
My mom had to comply with whatever he wanted. I couldn't help my mom.
I'm blown away.
When I came out, we did lose everything we've got. Christians hate gay people.
As hard as it is, I have to believe.
This curse stops here. It stops. You're healed in broken hearts. You're healed in broken hearts.
I love how positive this is, but you know it's not, you know the show not gonna, you know the show gonna be ratchet.
Oh, it's gonna be drama and trauma. They
I wanna see a preacher reunion show where they be laying hands on each other, but like not open hands. Talking about fist.
So welcome to your new day. Welcome to your new hour.
As long as you got a pulse, God still has a plan for your life.
All right, Carrie, you in? Mm-mm. Preachers of Atlanta? Mm-mm. No? Why not?
Mm-mm. I just don't watch none of those series.
All right, well, Karen's out, guys. So I guess it'll just be me and Nick, Jude, and Reggie watching it.
Mm-hmm. Have a good time.
Yep, we'll be spilling the tea. Speaking of the Planned Parenthood dude, speaking of people that talk to God, he was in court today and he admitted that he is guilty. Now this is a bit surprising as it's not the actual trial for what he did yet. According to CBS reporter on the scene, Robert Deere, the man accused of killing at least 3 people and wounding 9 others during an attack on a Colorado Planned Parenthood, would very much like the public to know he is straight up guilty. He also gave some last minute insight into why he allegedly killed a bunch of innocent strangers, apparently yelling, "I am guilty. There will be no trial. I'm a warrior for the babies." So I guess him and Wu-Tang are for the kids.
Apparently so. We'll see how long this lasts when shit get real.
I don't know. He's reportedly told the police no more baby parts when he got caught.
I understand that. Yeah, this is pre-trial. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand all of that. But once somebody sits you down and start talking to you and shit like that, unless you're just fucking insane, it's gonna be like, mm-mm, not guilty. Reason of insanity. So, we'll see. Like I said, we'll see if he just belligerent to the end and like fucking throw him in jail. We'll see.
It is kind of weird that people are just like, you know, well, he says he did it, so he must be insane. Like, our court system is weird because it's obvious he did it. He's saying he did it. There's evidence he did it. And then he goes, I fucking did it. I did it. I meant to do it. I'm not regretful or anything. And then people are like, yeah, he must be insane. There must be insanity defense. No, like, he did it.
Right. Me personally is a whole nother story. But yeah, a lot of people say that shit, get caught on film, on tape and shit. And when they go to court, they're like, what do you plead? Mm-mm. Nope, Your Honor, I didn't do that shit.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man.
People do that all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, his lawyers gonna have an easy day in court.
Yes, they are.
I mean, he gonna take that L, but at least he won't be there for weeks.
Are you froze? You're frozen on my screen. I don't know if you're frozen.
I can see myself on my screen, but okay. I don't know. Can they see me? Am I frozen? You're moving on my screen, too.
Okay. You're just not moving on my... I can refresh. My bad.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's me. I asked the chat room. They'll tell us.
No problem. Go ahead.
Multiple gun rights groups, speaking of guns, will be joining together this weekend for a mock mass shooting at the University of Texas campus.
Okay, I'll refresh.
All right, it said you good, by the way. Anyway, an event complete with cardboard guns, crisis actors, and fake blood. A reasonable person might be wondering, but as one of the protesters told states, we might be wondering what the fuck did this accomplish. They said they love freedom and we're trying to make more freedom by staging a fake mass shooting.
To scare motherfuckers that might be walking.
No, they love freedom and they want more freedom, Karen.
That makes no fucking sense.
We gonna get more freedom.
That was
more.
So you.
Freedom.
Gonna have people.
More freedom.
Don't know what the hell you doing, gonna call 911 on your ass.
To get free, yes. We gonna get more freedom that way. The crisis performance event itself will involve actors being shot with mock guns just over a week after the San Bernardino mass shooting that took 14 lives.
You think this is smart?
It's a fake mass shooting. We'll use fake blood, he said. He said the gun noises will be blared by bullhorns. Other people will then play the role of rescuers, also armed with cardboard weapons. Asked if he was worried about the demonstration, which will be preceded by a walkthrough, Austin with loaded weapons, they're gonna walk through Austin, Texas with loaded weapons, okay, might appear in bad taste following the mass shooting in San Bernardino in Paris. Short said, not at all. People were able to be murdered because no one was armed. Fortunately, weapons are currently banned at University of Texas campus, or else someone probably would get shot this weekend. So they won't even be able to have real guns. They're gonna walk through town with, I guess, real guns. Then on campus, they're gonna switch to fake cardboard guns and do a fake mass shooting.
Yeah, guns should not be allowed on the college campus. They should not be allowed unless you are an officer or like the kind of the campus police department. You shouldn't have a gun on campus, period. For the safety of all the students, people. I've stayed on the campus. I don't want people having guns around me.
This is the same campus that had Charles Whitman murder a bunch of people in one of the, I think it was the first mass campus murder in America in 1966. Wow. So just no sense of fucking empathy, irony, nothing. Just, we're gonna do a mock mass shooting because that seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Right.
What the fuck is wrong with this country? Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I know what's wrong with this country. Half y'all motherfuckers want to vote for Trump. So, what can I say?
Right.
Maybe I'm the one that's crazy.
Maybe.
Two-thirds of likely Republican voters support Trump's ban on Muslims.
I believe that. Yeah. I believe Obama's one.
This is what happened to your country, to your party. You know, you just cater to these stupid motherfuckers. Anybody that says something racist about the president, you can't wait to prop them up. You got a Fox News station that can't wait to fucking prop them up. The irony of all this is that Donald Trump's the one person that Fox News can't even control.
Right.
All the other candidates bought and paid for by fucking Fox News and Rupert Murdoch, and here's the one motherfucker that's a wild card. Anyway, apparently 65% of likely Republican primary voters support Trump's xenophobic plan, and only 22% oppose it. That's according to a Bloomberg poll.
Yep, and I believe it.
Yep. Russell Simmons wrote a letter to his friend Donald Trump on his website globalgrind.com.
Okay.
His friend Donald Trump. I guess you know, when he's not busy using them rush cards and that interest from them payday loans.
Stealing them people's money.
Dear Donald, over 30 plus years, you have been an amazing friend, endorsing my books, coming to my shows, flying me on your planes, your helicopters, even allowing my family members and myself to stay in your house in Florida many times. So it kind of pains me to know that my public statements about your candidacy have strained or ruined our friendship. However, the fact is, what's at stake is bigger than us. Yeah, that's so funny. It's not like Donald Trump just started being like this.
Come on now.
So you were kicking it with Donald Trump when he was wanting the president to show his long form birth certificate, mm-hmm. and saying that the president was just a affirmative action person for college, and that he wanted to see his grade transcript. This is. So it was cool as long as you were getting shit. You're already a rich man. So it was cool as long as you were getting flown on the planes and the helicopters. And this is really the thing that enables Donald Trump to be the piece of shit that he is.
Right.
To people is that at the end of the day, so many people worship money. He just buys these motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's telling candidates to their face like, yo, I put money in your pocket. What are you going to do?
I put money in your campaign.
And they're all being conciliatory to him because they're like, he did. And I took that money and I was at his functions and I took pictures with him. I want to begin this tough criticism by reminding you that I am the chairman of the Founder for Ethnic Understanding, whose sole mission is to fight bigotry of all kinds. That's the first time I heard him bring up that foundation. Anyway, our biggest program, as you know, it is to get Jews to fight Islamophobia and Muslims to fight anti-Semitism. We are operating in 40 plus countries, including Israel, France, Germany, and the United States, where we have hundreds of twinning programs, bringing together congregations of mosques and synagogues on a regular basis. Do you remember not too long ago when you made disparaging statements about the Muslim community and I put you on the phone with myself and Rabbi Schneer, and we had a meeting with the chairman of the Islamic Society of North America. You were very gracious, and you even came to the Islamic Cultural Center in New York on 96th Street. At that time, you walked into that house of worship, and you felt all the love vibrating in that mosque. Try to remember how sweet and enlightened my good friend, Imam Shamsi Ali, was, and all of the people you met with.
Didn't understand he don't give a fuck? He would go and show up because, as far as he's concerned, any limelight is the limelight for him. So.
Yeah, well, back then, you know, that was different. Now it's now.
Right.
And now it just behooves him to be Islamophobic because it helps him out.
Correct.
My friend, both Muslims and Jews are saying there are so many comparisons between your rap and Hitler's, and I cannot disagree with them, Donald. You can't possibly want your kids or your wife, Melania, all of whom I know and respect, to live with that. You are a born leader who is set possibly win the nomination of your party, but don't compromise what I know is in your heart to do it. You are a generous, kind man who has built a career on negotiating deals where everybody wins. Now you seem like a one-man wrecking ball willing to destroy our nation's foundation of freedom. Stop the bullshit. What? Stop fueling fires of hate. Don't feed into the rhetoric created by small-minded people. You're smarter and certainly more loving than you let on. The Republicans in power don't like you any more than the Democrats in power, and they know you can't be controlled because you're your own man, and you have been many people's champ in the past, but now you are becoming a major embarrassment. I know the cheap seats are easy to play to, but you can get them just by being the man I have known for nearly 30 years. Everybody's scared now. You talked all this shit before. Nobody was writing any open letters. Mm-mm. I'll pray that this truth will ring a bell and it will not only temper your rap, but remind you of the man you used to be. You are trying to be president of a country built on religious freedom. Remember that next time you discuss the beautiful followers of Islam. I would also like to remind you one of my favorite quotes from the Holy Quran. Love all men of good books equally. The minute you target one group or one religion or immigrants, you have failed. I wish you good luck on your path towards the White House, but as I'm sure you know, our belief systems are polar opposites on many issues. I will be campaigning rigorously against you, but if you win, I might still accept the invitation to your house to straighten you up every so often. With love, Russell. So if you do win, though, you know, just can I still go to your Miami crib?
No.
Is that straight?
No. The open letter ended all of that.
Yeah. Russ, this dude. Let's see what else happened.
And the only reason why you have fond,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
The only reason why he has fond love for him is because you benefited from him, and also, you know, you didn't work for him. You didn't, you know, live in any of his. I don't know. Did he own? I think didn't he own? Golf clubs and
golf course,
like golf courses. I don't know if you own properties, you know, like,
yeah, he owns properties, owns
right? So you don't have, you've never worked for him. So, you know, your view of him and other people's views of him are completely different. And you're not poor, all jokes aside. So for you, for the average person, they're not going to quote unquote see that side of him because he doesn't give a fuck about those people.
Yeah. Leah Remini, who you might know, I think she was the wife on Everybody Loves Raymond or whatever. Mm-hmm. She came out with a book, and in the book she made 9 shocking Tom Cruise claims about Scientology, and it was her tell-all book. She said, number one, allegedly $1 million donation put Remini on Cruise's radar. She gave a $1 million donation to Church of Scientology. And that's how he decided to make this friendship with her.
Yeah, I believe that because a lot of that is about money. Yeah. A lot of times that's how you get into a lot of, you know, elite organizations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even Christianity, a lot of times people, you know, same thing. You pay for your way to heaven.
Yeah, she said after this, she was in, she got that gift. And then one day someone asked her to teach Tom Cruise, her and her husband, to teach them how to salsa dance, and they just did. Number two, allegedly she refused to play hide and seek with Cruise and Will Smith.
Not hide and seek.
Yeah, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith and Tom Cruise all wanted to play a game of hide and seek in a 7,000 square foot house and almost 3 full acres of secluded land. But she declined to play because she was wearing Jimmy Choo shoes. She says, Cruise replied, well, good. So you're it then. And tagged her before running off to hide.
Oh, Lord. I like big children.
Allegedly, Cruise freaked out over cookie dough. He walked into the kitchen where a batch of prepackaged cookie dough had been prepared and was sitting on the counter, a perfect loaf ready for cutting and baking. She writes, Tom was looking for flour and other ingredients and must not have seen the cookie dough, and he instantly got angry. Guys, where's the cookie stuff? He said, furrowing his brow. His assistants came running in, wanted to explain that it was right there on a nearby counter, but all one of them could say was, Tom. They both grew more flustered and Tom got angry. God damn it. Tom seemed like a child who had never been told no. Get in the fucking present time. Is that what you need to do? He then screamed at his assistant. Tom comes across with an almost presidential charm to the public, but seeing him treat people that way was utterly shocking. Allegedly, the church felt the couch jumping incident was a good thing when Tom Cruise went on Oprah and jumped on the couch.
Yeah,
and everybody thought, is this guy crazy?
Right. That's when a lot of people questioned it, who may have not questioned it before.
Yeah. So yeah, she said, they told him the guy's really happy and you should be happy too. You should be happy for him. Similarly, she writes that the church celebrated Tom Cruise's Today Show takedown of Brooke Shields with a massive presentation at the Shrine Auditorium, where they boasted that prescriptions for psychotropic drugs were down something like 500% thanks to Tom and his recent comments. Number five, allegedly Cruise wanted Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony at his wedding, even though they weren't friends. What? So you just invite people to the wedding that don't, they don't even, that y'all not even friends?
Just makes you look good.
Come to the wedding. Why? Why not?
Well, that's right.
You're invited. Yeah, apparently, yeah, her Remini and her husband were good friends with Mark Anthony for years, and then he began dating Jennifer Lopez, and Cruz noticed this, she says, she was excited for them, and Cruz suggested that they invite Anthony and Lopez, to the wedding. Despite the facts that the couple don't know anything about each other and never, you know, more than passing acquaintances.
Right. He don't care.
Yeah. Allegedly the wedding of the century was used to get the Scientology, church, attention.
I believe that.
Tom and Katie's wedding was now being regarded as official church business, she writes. One fact that clued her in was the presence of Brooke Shields, who Cruz had quite publicly feuded with after his Today Show appearance at the wedding. The church is, in a very calculating way, would point to his photo or that photo, to this photo or that photo, and say, Posh and Bex or Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony are associating themselves with this wedding and therefore with Scientology. It was a smart way of legitimizing the church to go to the public and an attempt to cover up from the bad PR for recent years. It also promoted the illusion of, look how powerful Scientology is in this business. Damn. Many people are under the impression that there are tons of Scientologists in the film and television business and that we all help each other out, she writes. The real truth is that while the church would like you to believe it wields a tremendous amount of influence in Hollywood, that is really not the case. I knew of one minor casting director who was a Scientologist, but other than that, no real movers or shakers. As a matter of fact, I think I identify myself publicly as a Scientologist, probably, and it probably hurt my career more than it helped as far as perception was concerned. Damn. Allegedly, Remini found Suri Cruz crying on the bathroom floor. That's Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' baby. When I opened the door, I found three women, including Tom's sister and his assistant, standing over the baby who was lying on the tile floor. Rather than talking to her in a soothing voice, they kept saying, Suri, Suri, in a tone that sounded like they were telling an adult to get her shit together. Remini then writes that she proceeds to chastise the women. What are you guys doing? She's a baby. Pick her up, before grabbing Suri's bottle and heating it up in the kitchen. I'm no mother of the year, but even I knew she was probably hungry or tired. Allegedly, Isabella Cruz had some damning words about her mother. On the way back to America following Cruz and Holmes' wedding, Remini found herself in the same airport shuttle as Isabella and Connor Cruz, the children Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman adopted together when they were married. Remini had long known the kids from their time at the Celebrity Center together, had recently gotten to know them better during those nights at the Cruz house, but she rarely saw them without supervision or a church representative. So Remini seized the opportunity to ask a question she had long wondered. Do you see your mom? Not if I have a choice, Isabella said. Our mom is a fucking SP. SP is a suppressive person. So that's a church Scientology slang for people that speak out against the church. So, and they do make you like cut off contact with those people, even if they're family members. I saw it on this documentary. It came on HBO. It was crazy.
Yeah, and a lot of that forms of cult. Like, a lot of times, if it's, you know, cult, they, you know, people that's quote-unquote going to pull you away. And even some Christian churches can become cults. A lot of times, separate you from your family and your friends and shit like that.
And the last one, number nine, Nicole Kidman helped Leah through some dark days. Once she decided to leave the church in 2013, she repeatedly thought of Kidman to help her get through her tough times. During this confusing early period, I sometimes felt adrift. But I had one figure I kept front and center to, in my mind to keep me going from going crazy, Nicole Kidman. Tom Cruise's ex was my guardian angel. Although I never met her or attempted to meet her, I thought about her a lot. While I stared at the dark ceiling at night, unable to sleep, I would say to myself, remember Nicole Kidman. She was declared an SP and left the church, and she's doing okay. Her career is still going, and she has a husband and a family. Just remember Nicole Kidman. She left, and she's okay. Damn, that's some cold shit. You start focusing on success stories of people that left.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. Well, yeah, apparently Nicole Kidman was the one that got away, and that's what inspired Leah to get away. Seems like a lot of her books gonna be about Tom though.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if I want to get this book or not. I mean, she's on the cover, but how much of this is about, well, I guess the book is Surviving Hollywood and Scientology, and then this must be like the selling point of some,
yeah,
of it.
Pretty sure she,
and it's hard to think about Scientology without thinking about Tom Cruise.
Right. Or Will Smith.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Church members vote to cast out pastor who banned a 103-year-old member.
Oh.
Yeah. He banned a 103-year-old woman from a church in Elberton, and church members want to oust him. Reverend Tim Maddox, church pastor of Mount Grove Baptist Church, received national attention after he banned Gennora H. Biggs, who had attended the church for 92 years. Police were called to the church last month when the centenarian ignored the pastor and showed up for service despite being asked not to return.
I said, yeah, he was right, showed out.
On Sunday, members, I don't think you can show out at 103.
No.
You just show up.
Well, somebody showed out.
On Sunday, members of the church who disagreed with his stewardship voted to fire him as pastor, but he ignored that vote. The church members who voted to fire Maddox issued him a letter of termination and ordered him to remove his property from the church. According to a report in the Athens Banner-Herald, on Tuesday, he obtained restraining orders against the grandson of Biggs and a former church secretary. A hearing is scheduled October the 5th. Damn. Who does that?
Did they say why?
Well, you know, she know what she did. She know what I mean? Not minding her damn business, probably, Karen.
Just being old, did she not pay her tithes and offering?
Probably, you know, it's probably tithes and offering related.
Right. You know, only time
that's
they
why they kick them all out.
Right. Only time they talk about you that old if they're talking about you on the sick and studying list, right?
I know. He like, won't you just die yet, Glenora?
Right.
Do they even name babies that anymore?
No, won't just be sick and shut in.
Right. Only people name their babies that now, Kanye West. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Why did they kick her out?
Right, because it doesn't make any sense.
They revoked her membership.
Because some churches do that, like for tithes and offering and shit.
Said she was no longer able to. She was no longer welcome for any reason whatsoever. I don't know. It doesn't say. We are Baptists, and that's what we want to stay. But Deacon Glenn Jackson called the situation a bunch of foolishness and said Biggs' longtime membership don't mean nothing. Hey, you can tell these some black folks, but what the fuck started this?
That's my question, because it just sounded like we jumped into like the middle of a feud that they had going on.
Yeah, it just said she been banned from the church. Like, was she in there showing out? Maybe she was wrong.
Something happened, and he was like, "You got to go, Grandma."
Yeah, she joined the church when she was 11 years old.
Wow.
They called her. She went back and they called the police on her. They called it a civil matter.
What did she do? Come in there and threaten everybody? I don't understand.
I don't know, man. He is a holy sanctified minister, or so he says. We voted him in and we didn't know it until he was there. We are Baptists and that's what we want to stay. The church will not comment on her removal.
Was she a former preacher or pastor or deaconess or something at some period of time? Like, did she hold some power there?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe she was the one problem. What about that? What if she was in there mad because they was changing their ways? You know? We actually okay with We're actually okay with gay people. Yeah. Mm-mm, no, y'all ain't. No.
She went trying to hear that.
And I was like, you know what? She got to go. Let's call the damn cops. That's right. Call the police. Tell them it's me. let's see what else happened. A man threatened to shoot employees and burn a restaurant down over an incorrect order. That's right. You know how mad you get when you receive the wrong order?
Right.
A man in his 40s threatened to burn down a Flint eatery. Oh, Flint. What is Michigan on this bitch so often now? What is going on up there?
I can't tell you how many times I done got the wrong shit and was like, oh, well.
Come on, Detroit.
No, it's sometimes, depending on the situation, I might say something, but I'm not going to be nasty with, now unless they nasty with me, I'm not going to be nasty with the people.
Eating those phony conies. Yeah, burned out a Flint eatery and shoot employees over missing eggs on his sandwich. That does make you hot. I said ham, egg, and cheese.
So you couldn't just bought it back, but I ate a dog. Can you just add some egg to this?
Maybe after I kill a couple folks and burn this bitch down, I get my eggs right.
You won't make that mistake again.
Banging on breakfast. Police were called at 9 a.m. for a damaged property report, but when they arrived, they were told a man in his 40s had ordered food from a drive-through window. The man proceeded to come inside the restaurant, whose address and name are not included in the report, and yelled about a refund due to no eggs being placed on the sandwich he'd ordered.
They gave you money back.
He then threatened to burn the building down and shoot everyone inside at the time.
Right, but
cut to somebody just enjoying a sandwich like, oh, I ain't got nothing to do with this.
Right, and the front lobby cleaning out, but yeah, everybody needs a gun, because if he had a gun, he probably shot everybody up in there.
He might have had a gun left in the car.
Right.
I would have closed the damn piano like that dude in the juke joint in Color Purple.
All right, I'd have hit that first exit. Whatever the closest exit, I'd have been out of it.
Time to go. He then threatened to burn it down. The man then allegedly keyed a car before leaving in an unspecified direction.
Oh, who?
I mean, did the car have the Waffle House logo on it? I mean, right? How do you know which car to key?
I mean, hot damn, I'm just in here for my hotcakes and my car got keyed.
There's no word if he was in the arrest made or if he got his actual refund. So
what restaurant was it? McDonald's?
Don't tell you the restaurant.
Probably was Waffle House then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was, I mean, come on. It's always Waffle House, isn't it?
Always. Danny got drive through, but it's their fault.
The fact that they kept going on in business, you know what I mean?
Right. It was a Waffle House.
You know. That's like, what is this, Tuesday? Yeah, it's burned down the restaurant day. Charlie, you forgot the eggs, didn't you? Let's see. What else do I want to do? Don't want to talk about that. Oh, here's one. Dining solo. Any you guys go out to eat by yourself?
I do.
Don't feel pathetic. You're not alone.
I don't feel pathetic.
With your pathetic ass.
Oh, go ahead and read it. But I have a lot to say about that right there.
Oh, hell. Here we go, guys.
Mm-hmm.
No need to feel like a loser next time you dine out alone. You're actually in good company. According to an analysis by King of Online Restaurant Reservations Open Table, reservations for table of one have gone up 62% over the past 2 years, meaning dining rooms are catering to more solo diners than ever. The analysis also revealed that Dallas experienced the strongest growth in reservations for one, followed by Miami, Denver, New York, Philadelphia, Las Vegas, and Chicago. See, all the cool places, guys. While diners in America are enjoying a cultural acceptance of solo dining that didn't exist in decades past, clearly we don't need any more essays about why dining alone is great. In other countries, it's a bit different. In China, eating alone has long been considered taboo, though that's beginning to change. In Japan, solo diners are sometimes coddled so they don't feel bad, with a Tokyo restaurant banning couples on New Year's Eve so as to not make singles feel bad about ringing in the New Year alone, and another providing stuffed animals for companionship. Are you here by yourself? Here's your teddy bear. Here you go. Yes, just, it's going to be okay, boo-boo.
Okay, is that the end of the article?
Yeah, that's the end of the article.
Okay, I have a few words I'd like to say about this. Don't put your motherfucking insecurities on me. That's what that is. A lot of people have insecurities about eating and dining alone. That's not my problem. That's your problem. I eat alone because I want to eat alone. I don't need a friend. I don't need a random conversation. I don't need you coming over there talking to me. I might want to read my book. I might have had a long day. I might want to get rid of my kids. I might need a break from everybody, and I just might want to be left the fuck alone. But people feel like the need of when they see you alone, they're obligated to come and say something, like you don't have any friends, or you don't have any family, or you don't got nobody that loves you. That's not so. I just might want me time. I might have came in there with my comic book and was like, you know what, I'm just gonna eat my salad or whatever the fuck I'm eating, to read my comic book and have a good day, listen to a podcast and laugh. All of a sudden you motherfucker come over there and you ruin my meal. You ruin people's meals. People don't consider that, but you ruin people's meals when they're eating alone, and you just feel so obligated to come over there. When I used to work at a restaurant, I used to have coworkers talking about, oh, ain't they alone? I was like, no, they might really want to be alone by themselves. They really might not want to be bothered with nobody. I just have a problem with people thinking automatically that you're a loner or a loser, or you need a friend if you dine alone. In fact, I did that like yesterday, the day before yesterday, and I had a wonderful time by myself.
That's because you ain't got no man.
And that's what people think. But you don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know nothing about my life.
I know you lonely.
That's what it looks like.
You're getting lonely.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Nope.
You're getting lonely.
I'm not alone at all. And in fact, I'm telling the truth. In fact, a lot of times you make me mad by coming into my area and my zone because I didn't ask for your presence. But because you take your insecurities, you just feel this need that everybody needs somebody. Nope. Sometimes you need to free your mind, be in a peaceful place. Or sometimes, guess what? You hungry. You ask everybody else. Nobody else want nothing to eat. So fuck it. I'm going to eat. Y'all ain't hungry. I am. I'm going to eat. You know, I shouldn't have to rearrange my schedule or change what I want to do to try to accomplish. Because I used to do that when I was younger, you know, and if nobody wanted to eat, I'd be like, well, I guess I go home. No, fuck it. If I want it, I'm going to go eat it. I do not have time to rearrange my schedule for you.
I guess, but I mean, what would Aisha Curry think about this, Karen?
It don't matter.
I mean, just think about it, guys.
It don't matter what I have on.
What would Aisha Curry do? WWYACD. That's what I say. All right. Let's get into our segments. Let's do some fucking with black people. Just fucking with those black people. Just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. Fucking with black people. The game where we read articles from all over the world and we assign point totals from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Everybody's fucking with black people. Officer Thomas Webster of the Dover Police Department was finally indicted last May for kicking a man in the face with during a despicable act of police incompetence in August 2013. The attack was captured on dash camera on another officer's car, which showed the victim, Latif Dickerson, black, getting kicked in the face by Webster, white, as he was complying with the officer's orders. Dover Police Lieutenant Jason Pierce said the department chose to release the video immediately after the indictment to control the narrative after keeping it secret for nearly 2 years.
Wow.
We released the video because the judge considered it no longer to be confidential. We're a very transparent police department, and we feel that we handled this situation properly, he said. In the attack, Dickerson was knocked out, had his jaw broken, despite never being guilty of committing any crime. Dickerson just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was on his knees with his hands on the ground, but Webster delivered the jaw-shattering kick, leaving him unconscious. The case was taken before a grand jury in 2014, but Webster was not indicted. The case was reopened, however, when the Delaware Attorney General's office took it before a second grand jury who charged him with assault. We believe the video demonstrates the need for large-scale reform of the Dover Police Department, specifically the improvements to the use of force and internal affairs practices and supervision of their officers. Yeah. For 2 years, think about it. They didn't even want the video out till the judge made them release it. This means for 2 years, nothing was going to be done to this man. The people of Dover have a right to know about this incident and deserve a dialogue with the law enforcement and how they can create a safe, equitable Dover community for all. Webster's defense during the trial was nothing short of laughable, yet somehow it worked. I wasn't intending to kick him in the head. I was intending to kick him in the body. That was his defense. He then claimed that he was in fear for his life because they were looking for an armed black man with a yellow shirt, and their incompetence led them to an innocent unarmed black man with a yellow shirt. Yeah. I mean, with a yellow hat, not shirt. Well, I was in fear for my life, so I had to kick him, an innocent man, in the face.
You took your dirty ass feet and kicked this man in the head.
This obviously was a thoughtful verdict. I hope we can all move on from this, said James Liguori, Webster's lawyer. He told reporters before hugging his client. Although the department hasn't made a public statement about whether or not Webster will be allowed back on the force, his acquittal essentially guarantees that he will.
Of course.
The federal civil rights lawsuit filed for Dickerson has been resolved, but no details are forthcoming from Richard Morris, an American Civil Liberties Union lawyer who spoke with the AP. The video below is hard to watch as it shows how armed agents of the state can brutally assault an innocent man. Well, I'm gonna watch it. Fuck that. I gotta see it. I hate this shit. Let me just skip to the part where he get hit. They always show like an extra 2 minutes on all these videos. Which is funny because you so impatient with YouTube and shit, you end up skipping forward to like, when are y'all gonna brutalize this black man? Jesus, get it on with. Take us down. Yep. Told him get on the ground, came up behind him, kicked him immediately. That happened within, see, the video might be 2 minutes long, but the actual incident, 5 seconds. And you're getting kicked in the face, knocked unconscious. Said he was trying to kick him in the body. Didn't like it to me. Kicked him dead in the face, knocked his hat off of everything. Broke his jaw, knocked him unconscious. But somehow, that's not a crime, and he's not indicted of anything. I mean, he's not convicted of anything, and he's got free. And he's going to be back on the force policing your community, which still has black people in it that might wear yellow hats. Sometimes it takes them killing a person on video before they get kicked out the force. I didn't say go to jail. I didn't say go to prison. Just to get kicked out the force.
And they probably won't.
Just to resign. Just to be like, I resign my position. They got to kill a nigga. Think about it. How many of these police incidents end up going to trial? They can, even when they get, indicted, even when they go to trial, even when they get off or get a slap on the wrist, end of the day, that's the only thing that can make them be like, I resign. I'm not guilty, but I resign.
If anything, if I was a taxpayer, I'd be angry. Taxpayers spend billions of dollars. All taxpayers spend billions of dollars for people getting their asses whooped. And it's not all black people get beat that the police officers is paying off. We just happen to be a high percentage of them. But it's other people getting their asses whooped and shot and beat and shit and having these suits too that's getting settled.
Right. This is one caught on video.
Right.
Well, what happens if there's no video?
No, you know? Then there's nothing.
What was his official story before this shit went to trial, I bet? You know what I mean? You know it wasn't no, it was, he was coming for me. I was in fear of my life? What does that mean?
Yeah, he was on
the... What is a reasonable fear of your life when all I'm doing is being black on a fucking evening?
And he had his hands up. He was on the ground. He was of no threat to them.
Right. Just comply, right? Right? Just comply and you'll be all right. Right. Oops, broke your face.
Right, that's the cost of doing business.
Anyway, 100 for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Motherfucker. Michigan Republican ripped after suggesting that making black students white would fix school issues. Teachers and fellow lawmakers criticized Michigan State Senator Marty Nuhlenberg after he allegedly inserted race into a discussion on troubled school districts within the state. WXYZ TV reported. Footage posted by the American Federation of Teachers shows Nuhlenberg saying during the state Senate committee meeting on Thursday, you mentioned these school districts failing. You mentioned economically disadvantaged and non-white populations are contributors to that. I know we can't fix that. We can't make an African-American white. It is what it is. Mm. Nuremberg was speaking to the state school reform officer Natasha Baker, who appeared at the hearing alongside Karen McPhee and the education advisor to Governor Rick Snyder. The senator asked Baker what could be done to prevent such schools from hurting their children. Technically, if we do our job well, we don't need to exist, Baker responded. We should be working ourselves out of a job. Baker said her office is working to identify school districts that are improving and gather data to determine what the Michigan model should be. But though Baker, who was black, did not take issue with Nuremberg's comment at the time, State Representative Brian Banks slammed the statement. I was disgusted to hear any human, especially an elected official who is responsible for creating policy, to talk that way. It is clear you have some built-in racism. It is clear you are out of touch with reality. As an elected official, as one of your colleagues, you owe us an apology. David Decker, who leads the AFT's Michigan office, called Nuremberg's remark as racist a comment as anyone can make. But Nuremberg said his statement was based on his observation of demographics among struggling students. He denied citing race as a specific factor and pointed out that he has a black employee as his insurance company.
And that means what?
I can apologize to people who felt that way. My passion is for improving education and make sure every single child gets a good education. We should not have failing schools anywhere. Man, if you don't get the fuck.
Right.
What is that? I'm like, well, you know, we can't just turn the kids white. I mean, that's only, you know, that's
no,
one solution.
You can't, but you don't, you sound like you really don't want to fix this problem.
Well, if they were white, they'd be doing better. That's what it is, Karen. Let's be honest. It's just magically wave your wand. White kids do better. It doesn't matter what situation you put them in.
No,
white kids always are just magically DNA smarter than mm-hmm. black kids.
Nope. They got problems and issues with like any other group of people. Everybody ain't success over there, just like every other group of people. They got their dummies and idiots too, like every other group of people.
I'm gonna say 100 for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got 2 100s. See what else we got here. How about? Nah, that's too long. I don't feel like reading all this shit. Black religious leaders say they will not endorse insult and embarrassment Donald Trump. This is a developing story. So like, this is on the 28th of November, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Donald Trump, had released his campaign anyway, had released a statement about anticipated endorsements from African-American religious leaders. That got out to the public. And those pastors and stuff all said, no, we do not endorse him. We're not even planning on meeting with him. He was gonna have a public meeting with them and basically get them to all kiss the ring.
Mm-hmm. They thought it was gonna be private.
Yeah, they were invited to attend.
Well, he's about a show, so what did they expect?
Yeah, according to CNN, the fallout has already started. Some of the religious leaders who said they were invited to attend have publicly stated they will not endorse Trump and will refuse the invitation. Others have some flat-out negative things to say. I was asked to meet with Mr. Trump, too, but I refused because until he learns how to respect people, you can't represent me through my endorsement, said Bishop Paul S. Morton. Bishop Carletta Vaughn, senior pastor of the Holy Ghost Cathedral, said she was also invited but will refuse. Trump is an insult and embarrassment, but he represents the country we have become. She wrote on a Facebook page, zero experience flaunting the ticket of unbridled bigotry, sexism, racism, and everything that is wrong with America. Los Angeles, based Bishop Clarence McClendon said he was invited but will not attend, but he then pointed out that the meeting was not presented as an endorsement. Bishop McClendon was invited to attend Monday's meeting. His name was used as an invitee, but made no plans to attend the meeting and indeed will not be in attendance. He wrote on his Facebook page, Bishop McClendon has not made up his mind for whom he will vote in the upcoming election and had previously determined that he would not make any decisions until after January 2016. In a scathing op-ed, Ebony, over 100 African-American academic and faith leaders urged colleagues not to endorse anti-black Trump. So that was the first part.
Mm-hmm.
But then he actually did have this meeting.
Okay.
And
it was private now, right?
Made it private.
Okay.
And black pastors did go. Yeah. Earlier today, Donald Trump met with over 100 black pastors in a private meeting. After it came out that Trump was falsely framing the event as a public endorsement, even so, Trump still sort of got the press conference he wanted, albeit with only about half a dozen pastors flanking him. And also, Omarosa was there.
Who's Omarosa?
From The Apprentice, black woman. I never watched that show.
Okay. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Unsurprisingly, yeah. The meeting sounded deeply uncomfortable for everyone involved, as the pastor explained, concerning the issue of racial slurs and racial comments that he has made. It was addressed head on, and we are walking away with the feeling that perhaps after more conversation, we will be able to echo the tone of the top at the top as a voice to those who are lacking a voice. What? Way to talk around it. So what racial slurs were they specifically talking about? There are deep-seated difficulties that certain communities have, and we're going to address them, and certainly if I'm put in a position where I can do something about them, which in this case happens to be president, we're going to be working very, very closely with everyone, and we're going to be solving a lot of problems. That was Donald Trump's answer. How did you address some of the concerns that were raised? I think we'll be addressing them over the coming months and even over the coming years.
Mm-hmm. He gave and donated to all these churches.
Was the fact that it turned into a press conference a complete and total surprise? We actually didn't think we were going to be having a press conference, but it was such a good meeting, we thought we would do that. We had many, many endorsements coming out of that meeting. Here's some of it, I believe.
Chris Christie in a moment, but I want to take you live now to listen to some of those black pastors who met with Donald Trump today. Donald Trump speaking live here in New York. Let's listen in.
To be direct, but to have compassion as well. Concerning the issue of the racial slurs and the racial comments that he has made, it was addressed head on. It was addressed head on, and we are walking away with the feeling that perhaps after more conversation,
Man, that just sounds like such a cop out.
Oh yeah. They're getting endorsed. They're getting money. They're benefiting some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah.
They getting, you know, all of a sudden the new doors they've been talking about, the congregation, they got air conditioning, you know, got a little bit of carpet in there, got padded seats now, ain't got to use Martin Luther King fans. You're benefiting some way, shape, form, or fashion, because the other day, you know, he told that girl about coming up there and putting on the show and shucking and jiving for him, and y'all doing the same thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, they basically got up there and endorsed him because of this.
Right.
Away with the feeling that perhaps after more conversation, we will be able to echo the tone at the top as a voice to those that are lacking a voice.
What racial slurs are you talking about?
Listen, Scott. We had a very productive, constructive meeting. We made history today because we had meaningful dialogue with Mr. Donald Trump, and we voiced concerns that were sensitive to the African American community, and we asked questions, and the questions were answered. Where we're all satisfied with the answers, and we're unified front right here. We had a wonderful time, wonderful dialogue, wonderful fellowship, wonderful interaction. It was a great day.
Sell out motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Are you serious?
Yeah, and then you can have people running around and talking about this is how all black people feel, and that's not so. Or brown people, but you know. And it's funny how when it comes to this, are you gonna do this for Muslims that you've been insulting? You gonna do this for Hispanics that you've been insulting? I mean, you know, because it's not all about the black people. You've insulted every shade of brown, and these people matter too, and their votes, quote unquote, matter too if you're going to win. But it's just one of those things where it's almost like, in general, we're all minorities. Just over the years, black people's minorities' voice is the loudest sometimes out of minorities. But you have Hispanics that are growing, and they actually, their population is larger than ours. But their voices are growing, and they're demanding that you hear them out. They're demanding that you don't insult them. You know, that they're demanding that you don't deport them. you know, and the same thing with, you know, Muslims and shit. You just can't say this ignorant and dumb shit, and you can't tell me that there was no funds or money exchanged, be it through a bank account or under the table. Somebody got some money somewhere to do that.
Probably straight cash.
Homie, yes.
Right. Just really, that's how easy it is to get y'all to completely sell out all your values, all your morals. Is that easy?
And I wonder, because these are just the pastors. I wonder what the congregation, I'm not trying to be funny, of these particular people think. And when they go back to their flock, is their flock going to be like, nigga, fuck you?
Right. Now, also, I believe it was on CNN. Let me see if I can find this video. But Jamal Bryant referred to the pastors that met with him as prostitutes, the ones that met with Donald Trump. Let's see if I can find this. Hold on.
Front now from the New Spirit Revival Center in Akron, Ohio, Pastor James Davis. He attended today's meeting with Donald Trump, and from the Empowerment Temple in Baltimore, Reverend Jamal Bryan, who did not attend the meeting. All right, good to have both of you with us, and I'm glad you're both here in person, because this is a really important topic. Now, Pastor Davis, you have made a decision to endorse Donald Trump, right?
Well, endorse in the sense of James Davis, not as the pastor, but as the individual, because there is a fine line legally that pastors cannot endorse political candidates with the title pastor in front of it. But as James Davis, the man, I stand in support of Donald
Trump. All right, so
you gotta make sure you take the money first.
So your community, your flock will hear you say this, right? So
that's
I understand
correct.
Whatever the technical line may be.
Sure.
Why do you believe, though, that he is going to be good for the African-American community? I mean, we've just heard some of the things that he said, and he did, of course, retweet that what many believe to be
I think much of what's going on right now, I'll use even some of the words that the previous guest in a segment that I just saw use, that is schoolyard chatter. We're in a very serious time here in this country. Where our community is on fire, basically, and no one is talking about sending a fire truck. Basically, what's going on now is a bunch of rhetoric about sound blurbs and what the media is putting out with respect to painting a picture of Mr. Trump. And so in that case, those of us that have enough sense and are intelligent enough, we can get past some of these sound blips or retweets or whatever they are. And here, the substance. That was the point of the meeting. The meeting was never about endorsing. We made history today. We put 100, better than 100, black preachers in a room with a GOP candidate. That's never been done before.
Did he listen?
He absolutely listened to us. This wasn't the first time. This was our third meeting with him. And in previous times, we just didn't have the time to get into our issues. But as the more we...
Yeah, so this is your third meeting. This is the first time y'all actually brought up any issues. So I guess y'all just meeting long enough to get that check before, huh? And this time he's like, oh, I guess I should listen to y'all. So some of y'all, I heard some of y'all tweeted some things. What was that?
Got into the issues. We determined that it was necessary for us to come back
again
today.
So you don't think
today.
He's a racist?
I don't believe that. Again, I believe that his ego and his gravitas is so big that he doesn't have to pander to anyone. And I don't believe that I was being pandered to. Or as you know, some say that we are his token, so to speak, in order to go out and grab votes for him. That's not the case.
All right. So, Reverend, let me ask you. You were invited to the meeting. You chose not to attend. You are here in New York today, but you chose not to attend.
Yes.
You just heard Pastor Davis say he doesn't feel he was being pandered to. He doesn't feel Donald Trump's a racist.
I think that he's a pawn. I think it's regrettable. I'm here as a preacher and as a black man to say that I vehemently oppose the candidacy of somebody who has been outlandishly offensive to every minority group in the country, from the Latino community, African Americans, women, physically challenged, and all the more, Pastor James and Bishop Scott, who was the chair of this meeting, come from Cleveland. For a year, the Cleveland community has been in outcry looking for justice for Tamir Rice. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump hasn't spoken to any of that. We've not heard anything about mass incarceration, nothing about economic inequity, nothing about militarization of police. And the reality is this meeting was pulled together because of a rally that took place in Alabama where a protester from Black Lives Matter was roughed up. And Donald Trump said to the press, that he believed he deserved to be roughed up. Now, to that end, if you will not meet with Black Lives Matter protesters, let me find 100 black preachers who are not civically and socially engaged, who will in fact find the connection to the Black Lives Matter protesters who are engaged with this conversation.
All right.
Yo, this is straight up the truth and ether.
Right.
Jesus.
Right. Because it's one of those things where y'all come from Cleveland. This dude hadn't addressed nothing coming out of that area.
He's addressed Black Lives Matter by saying he will hit them.
Right.
Like, he's addressed it. He's right. These pastors, and this happens a lot with certain black pastors and shit, they're not socially or civilly connected. They don't care about any of these movements or these kids in the street.
Right.
And then they wonder why attendance is down and why these kids don't care about their churches.
Come on.
It is a very disheartening.
So, let's have a conversation right there.
Because we're talking about Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, that discussion doesn't need to be had on Fifth Avenue. That discussion needs to be had at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue underneath our current administration. All these things that are going on right now in our communities is because of the people that are in charge right now. And not necessarily.
Now, see, that's such a cop out, because you're saying you're talking to the next potential president, but you don't even, this isn't even a concern. Right? This is all Obama's fault.
Not only that, so people shouldn't go out and demand justice in their own communities. Everybody should just look to Washington to make the change.
Not just that, but I'm saying, in the context of this discussion, he's deflecting it to, you should be bringing that up with Obama, and that's it.
People have.
But listen, in the context of this discussion,
okay,
you're talking to the next potential president.
Yes.
You wouldn't ask him about your fucking concerns now? Like, that's stupid.
Come on now.
That's the whole fucking point of the meeting.
That was the point.
That doesn't even make sense. Then why meet with him at all? Why even talk to him at all?
Correct.
If that's the point, that's the fucking dumbest thing I've heard in my life. Not that the president doesn't do a lot, because he does, but if anybody had any reason to not do shit, it would be the sitting president who's on his second term and on his way out. Mm-hmm. You would have the least amount of leverage against him. But a candidate who's asking for your vote, why give up all your power before he even gets in office? Stupid.
So the ones that are coming down the pipeline. With respect to Black Lives Matter, with respect to our issues, all of these things were addressed in this meeting. And it
was addressed in the meeting, but Donald Trump has never said a word in public about it.
Right.
You guys just went outside and sucked his dick in front of the rest of the world, but you couldn't even get him to say Black Lives Matter in that meeting. You couldn't get him to say it outside the meeting. When the cameras are on, you went right back to shucking and jiving and fucking playing spoons for this man. Fuck out of my face.
If Dr. Bryant would see, I can't cut off someone because of something they said. We're not going to always like what each person says. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not throwing away. And so yes. Even with Dr. Bryant, yes. Dr. Bryant has gone so far to go out on Twitter and call the people that were in that room prostitutes. And I'm wondering.
He called me a pawn, but he called them a prostitute.
Yes. And he said that we're using our pulpits as poles.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, so I'd like to give a redress.
I'm wondering if the women in that room, the women, female pastors in that room, appreciate being called prostitutes. And I'm wondering if their husbands, in fact, agree with being called prostitutes.
And I want to apologize, because prostitutes get money. And the
one. Oh! Shade?
Right.
100 that went in there walked away with nothing. They did it for free. So there's another word for that, and I would not use that language on the family channel. What I would suggest is that you couldn't find 100 white pastors to do the endorsement, not 100 rabbis, not 100 imams. But you can find whenever there's poverty, you can always find
a capitalist who will always exploit poor people who are privileged
just to be in the room. He's glad to be in the room with no policy and no profit.
All right. So I'm like, yo, Jamal Bryant, that name sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I know him from? Cause like part of me wanted to just like clap for him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is like an instant reaction when you hear somebody say some hot fire ether like that you agree with.
Right.
But I said, I do this podcast called Black Guy Tips. If I know your name, it can't be good. So I went and looked this up.
Every sister just elbow another sister, say he should have listened. Every brother, would you tap another brother and say, I should have listened to her? God help me. Old saints, y'all forgive me. But I got to tell you, these hoes ain't loyal. You got to find somebody. Okay. All right, be seated, please.
Get them! These hoes ain't loyal!
Can't even have no black heroes no more. These hoes ain't loyal in the motherfucking pulpit.
What's the context of everything else around that?
I looked at the Lord and I said, I ain't got no type. Bad bitches is the only kind I like. Can I get a witness?
Yes, you can.
Don't you open up that window. Don't you let out that antidote. Popping pills is all we know. Where at in the hills is all we know.
Mm-hmm. But they ain't loyal, so what are we talking about?
But when that hotline bling, mm-hmm. That can only mean one thing. That's right. Oh my God. The fuck out of here. A lot of y'all walking around like you got a trap king. You need to get a trap queen. That's what the problem is. You need to stop. A 100. All that to go back to just 100. Just a circle of black losingness, right? All right there. So I don't fuck with church. Can't even
root for none. That's hilarious. These hoes ain't loyal.
Can't even root for none of them. Let me look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, these hoes ain't loyal. That's right. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, bitches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks.
Yes!
Slop on the knob and suck the dick. Of course, of course. All right, we only have time for either guest the race or ball alert. What you want to do, Karen?
Let's do guest the race.
All right. The lady has spoken.
Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Ba-da-bop.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going all across podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right. And today's Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel.
Mm-hmm.
Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Listen, it's almost Christmas time, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell because Matt Ryan's playing terrible, Tony Romo is injured, and the Cowboys are about to be out of the playoffs. So you need to hurry up and go to getbevel.com and get your order in. Okay? A lot of y'all parents is Cowboy fans and shit. They not going to have a good Christmas. But if they get a nice, thoughtful present, maybe they will have a good Christmas because they'll say, at least I got Bevel. Bevel will never let me down. When Bevel has a close shave, I always win. My face comes out on top. And that's what it's all about, guys. So help the people in your life that are typically losers at this time of year. Get some winning going on. Mm-hmm. Not only black people live in Atlanta and root for the Falcons and go through this shit every year, help them at least look smooth. Even if their quarterback looks crunchy.
Oh.
So go to getbevel.com GETBEVEL.com and use code TBGWT and get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com, code TBGWT. Thank yourself and treat yourself, treat your family, treat your friends. All right, let's go to the guest of races. Two men were doused with gasoline and set on fire, and another man was charged. Two men are in critical condition Saturday after a co-worker doused them with gasoline and set them on fire, according to Baltimore County Police. The incident started as a workplace dispute. Friends said it was supposed to be set up with a fist fight, but the confrontation took a violent turn. Well, if it was a fist fight, how could it be a violent turn? Seems like it's just a turn. Fist fighting is violent already. It's more like a direct path. Like a violent, maybe like a violent acceleration, maybe? Speaking of acceleration, gasoline was used as an accelerant.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I was about to choke. But this cold, man. I'm fighting it, guys. Fighting it for y'all because I love y'all. But Lord knows. Woo.
Police tell us that 28-year-old Christopher Harrison Jr. has been arrested and charged with attempted first-degree murder, first and second-degree assault, and reckless endangerment. And according to court documents, he has faced these same similar charges before, including threatening people with fire.
Well, this is definitely a workplace disagreement gone too far.
Look at him, they're on fire!
Witnesses and police describe it as a horrific scene. Just before 5 p.m. Friday, police say four co-workers walked to a gas station when the car belonging to Christopher Harrison Jr. ran out of gas. When they all got back to the two cars, an argument broke out, and Harrison poured gasoline on one of the victims and set him on fire. A second co-worker got splashed and caught on fire as well. The whole thing caught on a number of cell phones. Co-workers and friends say Harrison and the initial victim had an ongoing beef which escalated that night.
They kept pushing him and pushing him, saying that they wanted to fight him. They had agreed to settle it. There was nothing besides that was said. Even leading up to the altercation, they both took their shirts off and they appeared like they were going to fight.
According to court documents, not only does Harrison have an extensive criminal record, but this apparently isn't the first time he's been associated with fire and crime. Back in 2011, he faced charges of first and second degree assault and threat of arson. Prosecutors dropped those charges a year later. Some charges that stuck: a domestic restraining order filed against Harrison last month. In July of 2013, guilty of destruction of property. March 2012, guilty of second-degree assault. March 2011, fraud. June 2008, theft. And in June of 2007, another guilty verdict for second-degree assault. Police say in this case, the first victim has burns to 60% of his body. The second victim, 90%. Shit. Friends have set up a GoFundMe page to help pay for medical bills. One of the victim's sisters posted a short message saying, in part, he'll be going through many surgeries for the next 3 months. He still can't talk, but he listens.
Should have listened that night.
Now, Harrison had a bail review today. He was held without bond and has a preliminary hearing scheduled for December 30th. If you'd like more information on that GoFundMe page, we provided some information on our website, WBAL-TV.
All right, guess the race of Christopher Harrison Jr. I don't know if he's going to have that job anymore. He probably just got fired.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you get gassed up, Karen. You think he was posting with that flame emoji afterwards?
I bet he was. I don't think they got a gasoline emoji.
Got burned. Think that's his favorite song, Usher, Let It Burn.
Aww.
Well, I guess his coworkers were liars.
Pants on fire. Literally.
All right. The guests in the chat room, The good Lord is the only father in his life. Only porch monkeys seek to settle disagreements with violence. Not one of those cell phones recorded the incident in landscape view all black. Mistook his coworker for a cross. White. Aww. Didn't get his ass beat for playing with matches when he was a kid. White. The correct answer is, and you guys are divided, but the correct answer is actually black. Mm-hmm. Some of you missed it. Man, lit his ass up. all right, let's go to the bonus rounds. Double the points and the race.
Double the points and the race.
That's right. It's double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's all over the place. Let's see if they can win it out by doubling up. Bump, 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 bump.
Bump.
An Alabama man has been charged with terrorism after threatening to kill everyone in the doctor's office.
Oh, everybody.
On everything I love, dog.
Everybody getting some of these.
Come back with my gun, shoot up everybody. Saying he picked a bad time to make threats against a medical facility, police in Alabama arrested a man who threatened to kill everyone who worked in his doctor's office on Thursday. As panicky staffers locked the door and called 911.
Of course.
Bobby Lynn Box, a 44-year-old man from Helena, is being held on $200,000 bond after being charged with two counts of making terrorist threats against the state prior to showing up and demanding his medical records. With all that is going on in our country, he could not pick the worst time to pull such a stupid stunt, said the Jefferson County Sheriff. Yeah, because we had that Planned Parenthood get shot up.
Right, so you talking about you don't shoot at people, really gonna believe you.
According to authorities, the doctors banished Box from his practice on Tuesday after he threatened to kill the staffers. On Wednesday, Box called the office and left a message demanding his medical records, warning the staff that they needed to call him back while reminding them of the threat he had made. According to Christian, staffers explained to him that they didn't have his records in the office. Thursday, Box walked into the office, demanded his records while standing at the counter with his hands behind his back. Fearing for their lives, staffers locked the entry door to the treatment area and retreated to the rear of the building where they called 911. Police responded to the emergency call, found Box still standing at the front counter where he was taken into custody. Box's arrest comes on the heels of the San Bernardino shooting. They claimed 14 lives in the Planned Parenthood shooting where three, including a police officer, were shot and killed. He was extremely lucky he didn't get himself killed, Christian explained. I hope he isn't in his right mind. If he is in his right mind, we will put him in the mix for the I'm Just an Idiot trophy. All right, guys, guess the race of Mr. Bobby Lynn Box. Took the news that he had erectile dysfunction pretty hard, White, says Lex. Shoot up everybody in the office. They're lucky he didn't come in after the Alabama loss. Roll damn tide, White. Aww. Yeah. Well, that's like all the guests were getting. It's a little slow in the chat. But for all y'all that scared to guess, he lived, White. Cops died and he's still alive, White. The correct answer is White. Mm-hmm. Oops. Let me turn the volume back up. He's very white too. Mm-hmm. He like, yeah. Anyway, like he like to be a politician or something. Like I was expecting to see like crazy eyes white, but like a normal ass white dude. All right, last thing. We gotta talk about this sore ratchetness before we get the hell out of here. And boom goes dynamite. Let's see, how about this one? A Cary man has been sentenced for fatally stabbing a dog with a sword.
Oh, Cary, North Carolina?
I don't know what state this is.
Oh, yeah. In Raleigh, yeah.
Okay, yep, Cary, North Carolina. We back on the map, y'all. Whoop, whoop. Mm-hmm. Let's go to North Carolina. Come on and raise up. Mm-mm. Take your shirt off. Spin your sword around your head and stab a dog. Something like that, right?
No.
Is that what Petey was talking about?
No. Mm-mm.
Stab it like a helicopter.
Helicopters don't stab.
A man accused of stabbing a dog to death with a samurai sword in Cary pleaded guilty in court Friday.
After being number one for 13 years.
Oh, shit.
Our only competition.
Finally, the car commercial we all wanted on the black guy who tips.
Of course.
I was just trying to get the news article to play. I know I was going to have to stall an extra 30 seconds to get people to talk about Toyota.
An emotional morning inside a Wake County courtroom as a man pleads guilty to killing his dog with a sword. Many people inside the courtroom started crying as the 911 call was played and the dog could be heard wailing. Gloria Rodriguez is live at the Wake County Justice Center with this case that's touched a lot of animal lovers around the country. Gloria?
It touched many animal lovers, and many of them were in court today. Douglas Hagler entered an Alford plea, and that means that he pleaded guilty without admitting guilt, and his 100-day sentence starts today. Douglas Hagler pleaded guilty to killing his Siberian Husky Coda with a sword. Hagler's attorney said the dog had attacked people. He also said Hagler suffered from alcoholism and couldn't control his emotions. Judge Graham Shirley said that was concerning and sentenced Hagler to 100 days in jail and 5 years of probation. Several people in the courtroom sobbed as a 911 call played reporting the stabbing. Members of the Justice for Coda organization started because of this case were in attendance.
I guess I have mixed thoughts. I think we were looking for a little more jail time. But overall, I think the longer probation time is a better fit for this type of thing because it keeps the community safe. It sends a strong message. In the end, I think Doug was treated more fairly than Coda.
I think Judge Shirley was very careful and did the best he could to punish the act and also to protect the community going forward for Mr. Hagler owning an animal again and being in a situation where he could have another violent outburst.
The judge says that Hagler needs as much supervision as possible. The sentences include that he have an alcohol monitoring device for 2 years of his probation. He must also not own a dog, live with one, or initiate contact with a dog. Live in Raleigh, Gloria Rodriguez, ABC 11, Eyewitness News.
How's he going to get dates now? All right, guys. We'll be back Saturday with our feedback show. Men are stabbing their best friend, even if it's a dog. So if you have a sword, be careful, guys. Mm-hmm. All right. And we'll be back Saturday, feedback stuff, and Balls Deep Friday. You guys know the routine at this point. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Mwah.